Thank you, Joan. And now I would like to introduce our main speaker for this evening, Justin G. from Fullerton.
Hi, everybody. My name is Justin. I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here. I guess I'm going to start by I'm really regretting not trying that cake now. You know what I mean? That's all I've heard about here. You know, if I take anything back with me, SoCal Speakers has had the best damn cake there is. You know, you guys really love it here. I want to thank Damien for asking me to come out tonight. It's always an honor to be asked to do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, even when I don't want to. You know, I don't like doing this. I'm not a circuit speaker, I guess one would say, but. You know, luckily for you guys, I enjoy talking about myself, so I should do just fine up here. I mean, it's one of my favorite pastimes. It's what I do best. I had a long drive out here, and I gave a mean talk, let me tell you. So it was good. So thank you, Damon. I want to, like I said, thank you again. You got to give respect to the speaker getters. They really never have any idea, you know, what they're actually getting. You know, all they do is read a list and just pray they show up and do a good job. So, attaboy for you. You know, I want to welcome you guys if you're new. I want to welcome you to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you find something here that will encourage you to come back, because that's what counts around here. It doesn't matter what gets you here, and if anybody asks, you know, like I said, it just don't matter. What matters around here is what keeps you around here. You know, all the time I ask people, you know, I remember when I was here, and you know, people would ask me, you know, so just, you know, what brought you here, and I've come to realize that it doesn't matter. And if people ask you, all they're doing is making small talk. It's nothing personal, because what matters is what keeps you coming back. And I don't know what keeps you coming back, but I remember realizing a long time ago, I started thinking about, you know, what is it that brings you back day after day, you know, week after week, month after month, to realize you sit back and it's like, geez, you know, I've been here 12 years now. You know, I don't know what it is for you guys, but, you know, a long time ago for me, and this is just me, and the bottom line is, you know what, I came to believe. You know, I came to believe that if I suit up and show up, my life is going to change. I came to believe that if I take these little actions around here, my life's going to be different. I came to believe that if I put my faith in a power greater than myself, my life is going to get better. You know, I come to believe in this program called Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's a great program. And if you're new, I encourage you to. You know, there's a triangle right here. It's as simple as this: unity, service, and recovery. I came to believe that when I apply those three things in my life can't go wrong. And it's that simple. If you knew, I just want to tell you that. People want to know all the time, how does this thing work? It's right there. It doesn't get any easier than that. You know, it's the simplest, hardest program in the world, because it goes against everything you believe in. You know, this program is about helping others. You know, screw them. What about me? You know what I mean? That's the way I am. And so if you knew, I hope that you will. Like I said, I just hope that you realize, you know, find the reason to stay. I don't know what it is for you. I mean, when I first got here, you know, it wasn't like that. I came here because I liked the way the women looked, you know, and they were nice to me. You know, the women were nice to me. So you guys kept me coming. So thank you. You know, you guys kept me coming back. And you guys didn't want a damn thing from me. You know what I mean? I was tore up, and I had nothing to offer. But I thought I looked great. You know what I mean? I had it going on, right? Look at me now, Ma. Right? It was a good life. So that's just like I said. I hope that you guys find it. Like I said, and that's what counts. You keep coming back. I will tell you a little bit about myself, primarily because that's why I'm here, and that's what I'm up here for—to tell you a little bit about myself. So, you know, I was born in Anaheim, not too far from here. Actually, it is far from here. It took me 2 hours to get here. As a matter of fact, it is very far from here. But before that, you know, I'm going to tell you, I have a sobriety date. It's May 20th, 2001. You know, that may not seem like a long time to some of you, but, you know, it's a personal best for myself, and I'm grateful for it. You know, attaboy. You know, I have a sponsor. His name is Larry, and I have a home group, and it's the Bellflower Big Book Group. And, you know, those are three things that I'm grateful for, and you guys might not care about those three things. They might mean nothing to you whatsoever. But those are three things that I am grateful for in my life today, and I hang on to for all that I can. You know, those are three things I've had in my life consistently for the last 12 years. I haven't changed any of them. They've all stayed the same. And that may not seem like much to you guys, but I'm the type of alcoholic that if I have anything in my life for over 90 days, it's only because I couldn't sell it. You know what I mean? That's the kind of guy I am. Yeah, I sell stuff. That's what I do. But to hang on to anything for this long is... it's a gift, and it wasn't for free, and I couldn't buy it. I've tried to sell my sobriety today. Nobody wants it. I got to earn it. That's what they say. But it's a great deal, and I hope that you get those things in your life. If you don't have them, find them, and hang on to them, and cherish them, because I do. I think I have the best group in the world, a best home group, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way about your own. If you don't, you should probably find a new one. You know what I mean? Because it's or do something in here. That always helps too. Take a little action. I was born in Anaheim. I had a great childhood. I can't blame my childhood on the way that I chose to live my life. I had everything could ever. I was a spoiled little rich kid, I guess is the gist of it. I grew up in a beautiful five-bedroom house, two-story, had a pool in the backyard. I had a horseshoe pit, a volleyball court, those huge trampolines. I just had it. As a kid, if I wanted it, I got it. And I had a great life. I had a lot of loving mother. I had a father that was a great provider, and that's all he did. I didn't have a father, and I don't blame my father on my life. Like I said, my father went to work, and he went to the bar. That was his life. And I remember one time my dad was in the hospital for over a week, and he goes, "How come you didn't come to visit me?" It's like, I didn't even know you were gone. I didn't want to come visit you. Where were you? Where you been? I had no idea. And that's just the way that was his role, and that's what he did. My dad brought home the money, but my mother was a loving mother, and I love her for it. And she took care of us. There was four of us. I have two older brothers, and I have a twin brother. I don't know if there's any twins in the room tonight. Usually in a room like this, I at least get one, but that's like nothing. But when you're a twin, they dress you up in the same clothes, and they tote you around town. Everyone says, "Oh, look at the twins. Aren't they so cute?" And me and my brother are complete opposites. I always think of that movie, Twins, Arnold Schwarzenegger with Danny DeVito, years ago. That was us. My brother was the Arnold. I was the Danny. He had everything that I didn't have. He had everything that I wanted. In Little League, he was the all-star playing shortstop, and I was the chubby kid in the outfield picking his nose, because that's where they put the good players, in the outfield. That's what they tell you. Justin, I need a good glove out there. There ain't no balls going to the outfield in Little League, let me tell you. Just sat around. So if your kids are in the outfield, I don't want to be the one to break the news, but they're no good, all right? They're no good. But it's okay because they can learn from it, right? They need to learn today. But that was it. I was the kid out there, in school, he got good grades, I got by. He had straight hair, I have curly hair. And I only bring up the hair because back when I was growing up, everybody had that wave going. You remember it? And the higher the wave, the freaking cooler you were. And all I had was an afro, so I couldn't do the wave, and I was bitter. And nowadays, I just wish I had hair. I'm just losing it every day, it seems like. But I realized today that what I had was my first resentment towards my brother. It was him. He was the fault, I had that going with him, and I don't want to blame him for anything, but that was it. By the time I hit eighth grade, I was done trying to get your approval, and it was just all about getting your attention. I was tired of everyone looking at him. It's time for you to look at me, because I wanted to get mine. And I found a group of people that were getting attention back then. Back then, they were called taggers, and they're really not around today. They're a dying breed, thank God. But I put on these size 50 Dickies and these huge pants, and when I put them down to here, and when I walked down the street, people noticed me. I know today that they were laughing at me, because you see them, and it's like, look at that clown, dude, pull your pants up. I got the attention, and nowadays it's completely different. These kids today, they have these skin-tight jeans. I guess they're called skinny jeans, and I don't know how the hell they walk around in those damn things, and it's like, but hey, to each their own, right? I get it. I mean, whatever works for them. I just don't understand why they want to wear I would never want to wear my freaking sister's pants around town, It's like, come on, dude. So I want some man pants. Yeah. Because it's okay for women to have tight pants, right? That's just a sexist statement, isn't it? What's wrong with me? But like I said, I found that group of people, and I got the attention that I finally deserved. And It was no good. You know, I would love to tell you that I drank and used all the way through high school and through college and Harvard or Yale, wherever you people go. And but you know that, you know, that just wasn't my story. You know, I found that group of people and I was expelled from three junior highs alone. I made it to high school. I was there for about a month and I just said, "See you later, bye. I gotta go. I'm a busy kid. I'm gonna go clean the lawnmower, you know, in the garage and organize the nuts and bolts and had a maid." You know, I just didn't know what I was doing. And when I was newly sober, I heard this guy say that he was so intoxicated that he almost didn't pass the bar exam. Looked at the guy next to me. I said, "What the hell's a bar exam?" You know what I mean? I don't know what that was. But his parents must have been proud. I know that much. You know, not mine. My mother was not doing well. But anyways, I was a punk kid, is the gist of it. And shortly thereafter, I was finally introduced to alcohol. This is all before alcohol. This is just the way my head runs. You know, I'm just a sick kid. And I was finally introduced to these kegger parties in high school. And if you've ever been to a kegger party, you're missing out. It cost you $2 to get in the door. And you got $2. And I remember my first drink or any of that. I don't remember all that. I never knew that there was going to be a test later. You know what I mean? No one ever told me, you know, write it down. You're going to be in freaking SoCal Speakers Saturday night. You better remember this stuff. And But I remember the kegger parties, and I remember how I felt when I drank alcohol. I remember my first time, but I remember I intuitively knew when I walked in that door, I went straight to the keg and I stayed there. Because why would you want to leave? You know what I mean? I knew just to stay by the keg. Everyone was going to come to me. There was no point in going and mingling. And everybody did. And the only thing I could say, you know, and what it did for me was for the first time, it made me okay with myself. You know what I mean? I didn't feel like James Dean. I didn't walk around, "What's up, baby?" You know what I mean? I didn't have that whole look, but I just knew for the first time I was okay with Justin, because prior to that, I wanted to be anything but me. I went through so many different phases in my life. You know, I went through the tagger phase, and then after that, you know, I grew my hair out down on my back, and I was like, you know, Anthrax and Metallica, you know, the real Metallica, you know. I don't want that new stuff, you know, and the real Metallica. And then after that, I shaved it all off completely, and I moved to the beach, and I was a surfer dude, and never once have I owned a surfboard, but I was a surfer dude, you know what I mean? I was always going through so many different images, you know, anybody but me, you know what I mean? It didn't matter. I just wanted to be anybody but Justin. And but that's what alcohol did, you know. It made me okay with me. I didn't have to be anybody else. I didn't care, you know, where my brother was. I didn't care what anything else was going on. It did exactly what it was supposed to do, and it never stopped working. You know, I hear people come up here, and they say alcohol stopped working. And I feel so bad for those people, you know what I mean? I would blow my brains out if alcohol stopped working, you know? How do you function with a head like this without alcohol, you know what I mean? I'd go, bam! You know, just no way. Because I got a busy head, and it's always moving, you know? Even today, I got a busy head. But it always worked, you know? I was doing these little kegger parties. That was my first little introduction. And, you know, I had a good life. I wasn't doing much, you know? I started going downhill pretty quick, but at this time, you know, my mother and father were divorcing. My dad went one way, my mom was going another way, and us kids just took off, and we just ran into our disease, and there was no holding us back. And you know, we had that house in Anaheim, and you know, my mother was going through some of her own things, and that house pretty much just became the boys. You know, that was our house, and you know, within 2 years, the sheriffs were there, and they kicked us out because we didn't know how to pay a mortgage. I ain't paying no mortgage. And I remember when the sheriffs came, you know, almost every single window was broken. Every stair banister was kicked out, and we just tore that house up. And it was a beautiful home. The pool was green, and it was... We had these fish swimming in there to freaking eat the algae, those little algae sucker thingies. It was bad. It was bad. And for the first time, I was probably 15 years old, maybe 16. And I was living on the streets for the first time. And you know, I did what any normal kid would do: is I went to a life of crime. I decided to start breaking into houses because it's the only thing that makes sense to me. You know what I mean? And No, no, I mean, I never had the courage to go inside people's houses. I would only go in the garages because that's as far as I can make it. You know what I mean? I ain't going inside. There's freaking people in there. And I would just steal. I ain't going in there. And I would just steal the stupidest little things, and I'd run to my brothers. Hey, look what I got. You know, crescent wrench. Give me some money. And, I didn't make it long. I lasted about 2 weeks until I called my mom, and she ended up taking me up to my grandma's house, who lived in Hemet at the time, and I went to go sober up in Hemet. And if anyone's familiar with Hemet, it's no place to sober up, I'll tell you that much. You know, I brought myself, and we ran, and but, you know, I hated it out there. I didn't like it. It was too hot. It was too hot in Hemet. And I wanted to come back home, and I made a deal with my mom, and my mom said, as long as I, because I was doing a lot of other stuff, and my mom said, you know, Justin, as long as you stop doing drugs, you can come back home. And I was done, sold. And I came back home, and that's when I just started drinking. That's all I did. I just drank on a daily basis. And I didn't do much for the next few years of my life. I was in continuation school. It was 3 hours a day, and sometimes I would go, and sometimes I wouldn't. I don't know why. I just couldn't make it. You know, I wasn't doing anything. You know, I didn't have a job. I just didn't want to. I had no motivation in life. You know what I mean? I just wanted to be a nobody. I was good with it. And at this time, you know, shortly thereafter, you know, we moved to Fountain Valley, and I got my first job. Excuse me. I was 18 years old. I was very proud of myself. It was a great moment. You know, I got my first job, and I was working at this furniture store, and, you know, I was just, you know, I had it made at the time, because, you know, right next to the furniture store was this place called Mr. Keg, and I had this system, you know, because every day at lunch, I would go to my car, I'd get stoned, I'd go back into work, and I would sit on the couches, and I'd read the magazines, you know, I'm just in training, boss, I'm just reading up on some decor, and I would just sit there on the couch, and I'd read the magazines, and then after work, I'd go next door to Mr. Keg, because, you know, if that was their, you know, all they did all day was they would just rent kegs out back and forth in and out. And believe it or not, there's people out there that would rent kegs, and when they bring them back, they weren't always empty. And somebody had to drink that alcohol, you know what I mean? It's, can't just waste it, you know? I mean, Anheuser-Busch was going to throw it away. And I did the right thing. You know, I helped out. I did my part. And every day after work, I went next door, and we would tap the keg, and that was life, you know. It was a no life, you know. I had some bad times. I remember one time, I got shot at, which was pretty crazy. I don't even know if I got shot at. I'll tell you the story, and you guys can decide for yourself what happened. But, I was living in Fountain Valley, and in Fountain Valley, there's a bunch of parks. You know, every community has their own park. You know, I don't know what it is. If you look at a map, there's a bunch of green spots all over Fountain Valley, because they only got their own little park. And it was Halloween, and the party was over, so we decided to go to our park. And there was somebody in our park, you know what I mean? I don't know what you guys do when there's intruders in your park, but you need to let them know that it's your park. You know, don't get me wrong, you know, I'm not a fighter. I'm the guy, I let my friends fight, and I just kind of stand back and do a few little kicks here and there. Yeah, I got them, guys, get them. And that was me. I'm not the fighter guy. I'm no tough guy. I don't pretend to be. And this guy was there. My friend decided to pick a fight and kick him out of our park, and you know, that's exactly what happened. I remember, you know, and the guy started running to his van, and I ran behind, because I don't want to catch him, because then I got to fight the guy, and so I just jogging behind. Next thing I know, all I hear is he got a gun, bam, bam, and all of us just like scattered like roaches. You know, we all went different directions. I don't know where the gun was pointed. I just remember I went and hid behind a rose bush for like 15 minutes. You know, it's gone. And I remember I came out, and so that's my shooting story. I don't know if it was pointed at me or not, but it happened. And but I remember the next day when we woke up, everyone got together the next morning, and never once did anybody ever say, "Ooh, you know, alcohol played a huge part in last night." You know what I mean, buddy? You know, we made some bad decisions because, you know, we really drank too much, made some bad decisions last night, Gus, and never once did that ever come up, and never once did it even cross my mind that alcohol played any role in that situation. Because you know what the problem was? Weird things happen on Halloween. You know what I mean? That's what happened. It was Halloween. You never know what's going to happen on Halloween. It's a full moon. It's, you know, there's people are going to get shot at. You know what I mean? And that's my reasoning. That's my logic. Never once did I ever blame alcohol on anything. You know what I mean? Alcohol was always my best friend. Like I said, it always did what it was supposed to do. It never let me down. And, you know, I love to drink. You know, I drink when times are good. I drink when times are bad. I drink when times are just doing okay. You know, because it always worked. It always did what is exactly what it was supposed to do. You know, if I was in a bad mood, alcohol made me happy. You know, if I was in a good mood, alcohol made it even better. You know, it always worked. And, you know, I'm the type of alcoholic that, I got dry mouth alcoholic, and I'm the type of alcoholic that, you know, when I'm sober, I hate life, I'm pissed off, everything seems to be going wrong, and this guy keeps mad dogging me, you know what I mean? But you take that same alcoholic on that same day, and you put, you know, just freaking 2 cans in his body, and I overreacted. This guy's not looking at me, you know, who, just looking at my shoes, he likes them, you know what I mean? And my complete outlook always changed. It always did what it was supposed to do. It never not worked. And I just want to, you know, it was a good to have it that way. But, you know, I moved out. I finally moved out of my mom's house when I was 19 years old. I know, I'm a keeper, you know what I mean? And I moved to Huntington Beach, and I was 2 miles from the beach. I thought I had it made. I was living the dream, and I was at work every day, and, you know, I had that schedule, you know, stone keg. I had a great life, and until one day my head kicked in, like it always does. It says, you know, your employer is not paying you what you're worth. I deserve more, you know what I mean? You know what I mean, Dan? They deserve to pay me more, and I remember when I went to them, I told them that I wanted more, like, Justin, you know, I was a commissioned employee. They're all, you know, if you want to make more money, sell more stuff, and it makes sense now, but at the time, you know what I mean? I didn't get it. It's like, no, I want more money, and because I need more to sit on this couch and do nothing all day. And but they didn't give me any money, so I did what any normal person would do at that time and started stealing the furniture out the back door. You know what I mean? I started stealing it and selling it to my friends. And, it worked great. It worked great for a while. And I got away with it for a couple months until they realized that armoires were coming up missing and corner curios weren't where they were supposed to be. And you know, and they could never prove what I was doing, because, you know, alcoholics are smart people. I don't care what anyone says about it. You know, we know what we're doing, and I was a great thief, and, they could never prove what I was doing. They just knew that I was doing it, and I walked in one day, and I watched in the day that they fired me, and I said, we know, and I asked them, why? You know, why are you firing me? And they said, because you're misusing your employee discount. I thought, oh, well played, you know, well played, attaboy. They could not fire me for stealing because they could never prove it. But they knew I was doing it, so I said, you missed you. All right, well played to you. And I went back to my apartment, which was fully decked out at the time, let me tell you. Top-notch stuff. And I just remember looking around going, don't worry, I got this. I'll have it all back in no time. I'll have it all back in no time. And within 30 days, that place was empty. You know what I mean? Because, like I say, no, I sell my stuff. I don't know what you guys do with your stuff, but I sell my stuff. I remember one time we were all there hanging on the couch. Guy walked in and said, Justin, I like your couch. I said, make me an offer. He made me an offer. Everybody off the couch. You know what I mean? Couch sold. You know, because that's what I do. I sell my stuff. I'm just the way I am. You know, I was off and running. And, you know, I'm a loser. You know, I mean, I'm just a straight loser. And, you know, we went and, you know, after that, you know, life wasn't too great for me. You know, I was on the streets again for the second time. By this time, I was probably 20 years old, maybe 19, 20, somewhere around there. And, you know, I was just running every scam I could think of to get by because I didn't want to work. You know, I mean, I didn't want to go get a job because I didn't have the time to wait that 2 weeks to get that check. I needed money today, so I had to do what I had. And one time, my brother called me lazy, and I'm like, lazy? Work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know? I mean, I'm always on the hustle here for nothing. And this guy works 9 to 5 from Kinko's, you know? And he didn't know what lazy was. And but, you know, I decided at this time, you know, I need a new scam. I need to do something. And by this time, my credit was shot, so I just moved on to your guys', you know what I mean? I started adding myself to people's charge accounts. It seemed like a great idea at the time, and it worked well for probably about 6 months, and you know, that's how I got by. Is I would take orders, go shopping, and that's what I did. And until one day, I was walking out of the JCPenney's of Westminster. I had a few friends with me, and I felt like shopping that day. I had about $3,000 worth of clothes in my hands, And I remember I walked out and the cops were right there, and I was just, I was so grateful. I was just like, finally. I just remember dropping the bag there. You know, there was no fight. There was no run for the hills. I'm going to beat them. I was just done. I was tired. I didn't sleep in weeks. I'm just like, I was just done. And I remember, I was so grateful. And I, as sad as it sounds, just like, yeah, I just needed a bed. I needed a bed. And I remember, they gave me 5 felonies that day, and they shipped me away. And I didn't care. You know, it made no difference to me because I knew I was going to be a creep my whole life. So when they gave me, I remember when they asked if I wanted to fight, I'm like, I ain't fighting nothing. I don't care. I got 5 felonies. I'm tough now. And I'm just like, poof, gone. And, don't get me wrong. I didn't do any hard time. You know, they slapped me on the wrist because it was my very first offense, and they sent me to this place in Irvine called The Farm. I don't know if anyone's been to The Farm, but it's the best place you could ever do time in your life. Ping pong tables, pool tables, volleyball. I mean, I had more fun in jail than I had in a long time. And that's a sad statement, but it's the truth. That's the truth. And, I remember one day I was sitting out in the little yard there, and some guy walks up and goes, Jesse, why are you always so happy all the time? And it's like, I don't have a clue. You know what? And out of the blue, some other guy walks up. I don't know who he is. He could be here tonight as far as I know. And he said, Justin, you're sober and you're on a bunch of people just like you. And, it just clicked. It just made sense for the first time because, I had tried that born again thing. I just didn't fit in with that. And if that's your thing, congratulations. Good for you. It just never worked for me. It wasn't my thing. And when he said that, it just kind of clicked. He didn't mention anything about AA and say, you got to work a program and any of that. He didn't say anything about AA. That's all he said. And at the time, that was all I needed to hear because it made sense. And I knew I wanted to be here. So I thought to myself, well, I wonder where I could find a group of people just like me that are sober out on the streets. I had no idea this thing existed. No one ever told me about this thing. But I was working in the kitchen one day, and I was so tired because they were transferring us back and forth to the main and farm. And I got sick of the drive, and they told me that, the guy said, Justin, if you tell the mental health lady that, you have a problem, they will, they will hold you back. And so I did that. That's when they hold me back, and then they ended up putting me some little relapse program thing, and they hold me back another day, and that's where I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous for the first time. I had no idea. I'm thinking that I'm beating the system. I'm beating the system. I don't got to work. Ha, ha, ha. And the whole time I was exactly where I needed to be without even realizing it. And I didn't hear anything. I didn't say, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to go do this and that. But they offered me this thing. They said, Justin, when you get out of here, you can go to this place in Santa Ana called Cooper Fellowship. And I went there for 2 reasons. One, because they offered to pay my rent for 6 weeks, which is a bonus. And 2, because they offered to pick me up at 2 in the morning. And I had nobody in my life that was willing to pick me up at 2 in the morning at that time. At that point in my life, I could have called everybody I knew and nobody would have answered. And if they did answer, they would have all told me, no, I ain't coming to get you. Because I had nothing, I had nobody, because I'm a user of people. That's what I do. I use you until I can't use you no more, and then I move on to the next couch. You know what I mean? That's just how I rolled. And I had nothing to go. I had nothing left, so I decided to take this opportunity because it was free, and they were going to pick me up. And I remember, panels would come in, and there would be, speakers that would show up. And, I was no rocket to stardom here. I'm no AA star. I just saw people come in, and they were going out of the way to do different things. And, I was there for 6 weeks, and after a week, they would send me out on a job search, and I just went to the beach and worked on my tan, I don't want to do a damn thing around here. I remember even when I first got sober, I told them, I know I want to stay sober, but I don't want to change, I want to be the same piece of crap I always was, but I just want to be a sober piece of crap, because that's exactly how my mind went, because I didn't want to do any of these things that you guys did around here. I wanted to be... It says in our book that our alcoholic lives seem to be the only normal one. And I understood my life. I accepted it. It is what it's going to be. But I knew I wanted to stay sober, but I wanted to continue living that life because that was the only life I knew. So I didn't want to take a damn. I didn't want to take any of your actions. And I didn't. And after 6 weeks, my time came and went, and they kicked me out because I didn't take any of your actions. And I found another program called SPIN. It's called Serving People in Need, and they offered to pay my rent, too, for 6 more weeks in a sober living house. And And so our living house was in Garden Grove, and the owner of that house, Jason Smith, he's no longer with us, but I'm grateful for him. You know, Jason Smith used to load us up in his van, and he would drive us all the way out to Bellflower, and I think, what the hell are we driving to Bellflower, dude? You know what I mean? 45-minute drive, there's a meeting on the damn corner, dude. Come on. And, you know, I didn't understand his actions, but I knew that if I didn't take him, he was going to kick me out. So I just kept doing it. And I kept getting in the van. And, you know, like I said, I didn't do anything until one day I was out on job search again. And I was at the beach. And Jason just happened to be driving down PCH that day. And I mean, when he got back to the house, you know, he asked me, oh, Justin, how was your day today? And I'm like, oh, you know, very good. You know, some very promising leads. I feel positive about it. And he told me for the first time, he's like, no, Justin, nothing but a selfish, self-centered, sober piece of crap. You need to get your stuff and get out of my house. And I'm just like, what? You know, for the first time, for the first time, I was called out on who I actually was. So I grabbed my duffel bag because that was all I had. And I walked to the nearest payphone because I had no car, I had no phone, I had no nothing. And I called everybody I knew, you know. I called everyone I could, you know. I called my mom, you know, Mom, great news, I'm coming home. And, you know, she's like, great news. She's like, the hell you are, Justin, I love you. She's like, I love you, but, you know, it's time for you to grow up. And, you know, thank God she did. Thank God she did, because for the first time I was out of answers around here. I had nothing to pawn. My clothes were 5 years old at least. I had nothing worth of value in there. I had nothing left. No answers, nothing, nowhere to go. And I went crawling back to that house, and I just said, you know, don't give up on me. I want what you guys got. I'll do what I have to do around here. And he let me back in the house, and I got busy, you know. I didn't want to do these things. Even today, you have to do the uncomfortable to get comfortable. And, you know, if I got to do everything that I wanted to do in Alcoholics Anonymous, I wouldn't do a damn thing, you know what I mean? Because I'm lazy, you know, I don't want to do anything. Like, even tonight, you know, it's like, I don't want to drive to San Diego. It's a high, dude. It's a two-hour drive, and I don't want to come out here. But I just do it, you know. I remember even when Damon called, you know, it took me over a week to call him back because I knew I wasn't going to go. I ain't going. But I just know, it didn't stop gnawing at me. It's like, I got to go. I got to call him back. Because I got to do the things that are asked of me around here if I want my life to change. But anyways, I started doing things. I got a sponsor that night for the first time. And up until that point, I was refusing to get a sponsor. I was told people, you know, God was my sponsor. I'm not going to listen to no man. But I got a sponsor, and for the first time, you know, I actually cracked open that big book and we read the doctor's opinion. It changed my life. Prior to reading the doctor's opinion, if you would have asked me if I was an alcoholic, I would have told you no. I'm nothing but a tweaker and a thief, period. That's my problem. And don't get me wrong, I was, but I never would have blamed alcohol. You know, it says in my favorite paragraph, it says, men and women drink for the effects produced by alcohol. Who doesn't? You know what I mean? I had no idea there were people that didn't. It says in that same paragraph, you know, it talks about our normal life soon to be the only normal one. Then it says, after we succumb to the desire to drink again, we take off on one of our well-known stages of a spree, awaking remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. And that's me. Because you see, when I take a drink, I got to take another one. And I take off on that spree. And that spree for me could be anything. You know, I can go on a run. I could do whatever it is. But I can't tell you how many times I've woken up and said, you know, I'm never doing that again. I'm lucky to be alive. I'm lucky not to be in jail. And, you know, until around noon o'clock comes, the game turns on, and it's like, you know, I don't even watch sports, but it's like, you know, the game turns on, it's like, oh, just one beer would be fine. I take that beer, and boom, I got to have another, and I'm off and running. So the first time I actually realized, you know, maybe alcohol is this problem. Maybe I am an alcoholic. And when I came to believe that I was an alcoholic, I was no longer a visitor. Because prior to the coming to that, I would show up in your guys' meetings. I'm just a visitor. Yeah, I'm an alcoholic, but I never believed it. So when I started, actually came to believe, that's when I started to take actions around here. I started to do the footwork around here. And that's when things started to change, you know what I mean? Because for a while, all I did was I would show up and I sat in the same seat every week, no matter what. But at the end of the day, that's all I had was a seat. Because I didn't do anything else. Like, whoop-de-doo, I got a chair. I got plenty of chairs at home, you know what I mean? I don't got to drive to Bellflower for a chair. And I just started taking the actions, you know? My life got so much better. You know, it seems like the more I do around here, the better my life gets. And I can't always explain it, you know. I have a good life today, and you know, I take the actions that are asked of me. You know, I have these, you know, it hasn't always been easy. You know, after about a, you know, I remember about a year after I got sober, you know, my mom moved, you know, she moved to Utah. You know, she was just done. You know, later, people. She bailed. And, you know, I hadn't seen her in a long time. And I remember I went up there for, for Thanksgiving, and I hadn't seen her in a while. And I remember I went there, and it's like, you know what, I'm just going to, and I just did what you guys taught me. Thank you. And, you know, I went there, and I was of service to my mother. You know, if the trash was full, I emptied it. When I woke up, I made my bed. If I dirtied a dish, I cleaned it. I didn't expect, if I saw her doing something, I asked her if I can help. You know, I was just a son to my mother for the first time in I don't know how long. And I remember when I left, my mother cried. And it wasn't because she was worried about her son and where he was going. It was because for the first time, she actually wanted me to stay. You know what I mean? Don't go! You know, Alcoholics Anonymous has given her the son that she's always wanted and deserved. You know, that's got nothing that I did. I just did the thing that you guys had taught me to do. And as a result of that, you know, I get these gifts that I don't deserve. You know, because I'm grateful that I don't... I remember when I was new, this guy said that he deserved a better life. And I thought, I don't know what the hell this guy did out there, but I've done nothing to deserve a better life but prior to coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm grateful I don't get everything I deserve around here. And, but, you know, I just knew that, you know, like I said, there's so many just little things that I have in my life today. You know, I got a peace of mind that you just can't put a dollar amount on. You know, there's, you know, I have a group of friends in my life today that don't care if I'm holding. You know what I mean? That's all it was before. It's, hey, are you holding? You know, that's just, that ain't the case today. I have real friends. I have friends that I could walk up, you know, and just hand them 10 grand in cash and say, here, I'll be back. And when I come back, that money will be there. You know, I have a great life today. I just... You know, and it's not because of anything I did. All I did was suit up and show up. You know, I did the things that was asked of me around here. When I first got here, I had these huge problems. You know, it's like, hey, you know, sponsor, you know, I need a girl, I need a job, I need this, I need that. He would just tell me these stupid things. You know, why don't you go get in the greeting line? You know, he would tell me to go freaking talk to so and so and do all these little things that I didn't understand. But at the same time, he was teaching me how to do these things without even knowing it. Because you see, by showing up to meetings on a weekly basis, no matter what, I've been taught how to show up to work no matter what. And by getting a commitment at these jobs, at these meetings, and taking pride in the commitment, it's taught me how to do a good job at work. And by listening to my sponsor, it's taught me how to listen to my boss. And by treating the women in here with respect, it's taught me how to treat the women outside with respect. You know what I mean? It's just little things that you don't always know what's happening and it doesn't make any sense to you. But if you just shut up and take the actions, it's all going to make sense down the road. And I know I'm running low, and I just encourage you guys to take actions around here, because the more you do, the better your life's going to get. And I just hope that you find a reason that we'll just encourage you guys to come back day after day. And I thank you for listening.